Coming up on show 1106, Tesla officially cancels the Model S Plaid Plus. Why? Because, well, I'll tell you. Stick around. Also on the show today, we're talking about the Skoda Enyaq Sportline, IV Neo's Gemini codename, and Audi's codenamed super secret project that was a bit external and now is being folded back in-house. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. For Monday, 7th of June, my name is Martin Lee. Been through every EV story, so you don't have to today. And chances are you may have seen the headline news, because it's one of those stories that goes far and wide. Some EV stories, I really have to dig into the dirt and bring you those stories. Some of them just go everywhere. Like this one, a tweet from Elon Musk, who tweeted yesterday, Model S goes plaid this week. Of course, June 10th is going to be the unveiling. But then he replied to himself in a thread, Plaid Plus is cancelled. No need, as plaid is just so good. Well, previously, Tesla and Elon promised fans the tri-motor Plaid Plus version of their Model S would give 1,100 horsepower. But the range was the most important thing. 520 miles of range on a full battery charge. Acceleration 0 to 60, less than 2 seconds. But at that point, I mean, how many people are doing 0 to 60 in less than 2 seconds and not seeing their breakfast for a second time? CNBC says that in March, Tesla raised the price of the Plaid Plus by 10 grand, bringing it to around $150,000. The option to order the Model S Plaid Plus was removed from the website around the end of May, according to a CNET report. The remaining high-end version of the S Plaid costs $120,000, 390 miles of battery range, 1,020 horsepower, and still 0 to 60 miles an hour in 2 seconds. The unveiling is 10th of June on Thursday. Like I say, it's going to be a live event. It's going to be live streamed. Will there be a surprise? Well, some people are speculating that the Roadster, as in, you know, new Roadster, which is kind of a four-year-old vintage car these days, after that single prototype was revealed, could well be the surprise, because it's been on display at the Peterson Museum, but that was recently extended to the 11th of June. Coincidence? Maybe. Maybe that's the surprise. Maybe that car that's been on display is going to be revealed as the actual Roadster in a kind of, I don't know, superhero movie type twist. It was under your noses all along, suckers. Okay, maybe I'm getting carried away now. The Model S Plaid will be available to order in the US, and those customers get it now. But in the UK, we don't get it until the end of the year. No, sorry, not the end of this year, the end of next year. So considering they took the Model S off sale last year, here in the UK, right-hand drive, I get that. We're going to be 2 full calendar years, if that happens, by the way, and it is the end of next year, as the design studio says at the minute, estimated delivery. That's 24 months where they haven't sold a single brand new S and, you know, by de facto X as well. Man. Today is also the anniversary, by the way, the 7th of June. It's the 7-year anniversary of Elon Musk personally coming to the UK to hand over the very first Model S cars to those early buyers. Goodness me, how times have changed. He flew here, personal handover, big personal service. Now, we don't get those cars for 2 years. I mean, goodness. I know right-hand drive's a pain. I get that. We're not the world's biggest car market. We're out of the EU. There's import taxes. I get all that, but still, man, it makes me sad. Moving on. Do we need the Plaid Plus? Probably not. I mean, it gets to a point where how fast is fast enough? I think we needed the Plaid Plus for the range, because 520 miles of range seems a lot. And don't get me wrong, I'm not being like that person that just wants more all the time. It is a lot of range. But if you only charge to 80 or 90% because of battery health, of course, that takes, you know, 10 to 20% off, say 50 miles off. If you only go, you know, below 5 or even 10% because you're nervous when you're getting low state of charge, of course, that takes more range off. If it's cold, that can take a third of your range off, even though battery heating and cooling is brilliant on Teslas. If you're doing any kind of elevation, if you're towing, look, that 500 miles of range becomes 300 or 250 really, really quickly under certain circumstances. It's not about the 500, it's about being usable. What if you want to go a couple of hundred miles in cold, wet weather and you don't, you know, you get to a charging station and it's full, probably not a supercharging station because they're all massive, but it gives you the option. Oh, that's fine. We'll go to the next one. So it's not about the 500. It's about the big, big range to cope with the fact that EVs never go as far as ideal. All right. Okay. So do we need the Plaid Plus? Probably not, is my, you know, my thoughts on that. The Plaid version, new architecture, new technology underneath, going to make most of V3 superchargers, so it'll charge that and the X at 250 kilowatts. Don't know what the charging curve is going to be like. They're still using the original cell form factor, the 18650s, which were, you know, at the time, off-the-shelf commodity batteries that they used then because that's what was going into laptops, and they're still using them. Over the years, what goes inside that cylindrical tube, vastly different, by the way, and is far, far better, along with their partners Panasonic, but still kind of interesting, right? Moving on. Tesla's Model 3 just became the biggest selling electric car. Where? Here in the UK. Model 3 became the most popular electric car on British roads after a surge in sales as the race to dominate the car industry's new era heats up, according to the Guardian newspaper that I was reading. They said the number of Model 3s on British roads overtook Nissan's Leaf during the first 4 months of the year, according to the auto analyst who I'm often quoting his Twitter, Matthias Schmidt, and I will do later in the podcast today. There are now 39,900 Model 3s in the UK. I swear to God they're all at the end of my road. There are so many white Model 3s flying around where I live. Little county of Dorset in the middle of the bottom of the country. And I just see so many Model 3s, and they're always the damn free colour, you cheapskates! There are 38,900 Leafs. Model 3, most popular car here. Of course, the Leaf is all made in the UK. Factory in Sunderland, in the northeast. But the Model 3s do go on a bit more of a journey, either from China or Fremont these days. Next, we'll talk Skoda. The Skoda Enyaq Sportline IV. Skoda's athletic trim, they call it. Available for the brand new SUV. Sporty look with black design features, lowered chassis, lower suspension, three power variants, all-wheel drive. The most powerful version of the Enyaq Sportline IV is got all-wheel drive. There is a second electric motor on the front axle, so 195 kilowatts of power. So on the rear, so the model you're looking at is the 80X, by the way. On the rear, you've got the big motor, the main motor. It's called a permanent magnet synchronous motor, a PSM. And on the rear axle, that's giving about 150 kilowatts. There is an asynchronous motor on the front axle. That's got a, it's got a pulse inverter and a single speed gearbox. So that has an output of about 80 kilowatts and about half the power of the rear motor. Those motors, by the way, the one on the front axle, characterized by a short-term overload capability, low drag losses, perfect for a short-term boost. Enyaq Sportline IV 80X has the big 82 kilowatt hour battery pack. Of course, this is a similar car to the VW ID4. It can do 500 kilometers on the WLTP test cycle, top speed of 160 kph. A great car as well, because if you haven't seen it, check out the pictures. I'll pop a link in the show notes to the Enyaq Sportline. It's just got that, you know, I've often said I want an EV estate car, but I'm not quite sold on the MG5 yet because there's a new one coming and I would prefer that because it's got better technology. And but this, I mean, it's not far off. It's got the raised roofline. It's quite long. It would swallow all the kiddie gear. I like it. Let's go to China. NIO reveals, oh, by the way, coming up on the podcast soon, we're talking about BYDs coming to Europe and Audi taking full control of their super secret project. Stick around, those details coming up. Right, now that NIO story, Gemini is the codename for a new luxury EV line. The Get Report reveals that Gemini is a codename for the new high-end electric vehicle lineup to be launched next year, burying speculation that the China-based EV maker NIO was going to do a less expensive mass production entry-level car, says thestreet.com. No, NIO suppliers JAC Group last month invited bids for the construction of a production line that was codenamed Gemini, and it was producing 60,000 units a year. That sparked speculation it was going to be an entry-level NIO, but NIO watchers didn't get it right because a spokesperson confirmed today Gemini is a project codename to build a NIO-branded luxury car competing with the likes of Tesla Audi, BMW and others not low priced. Of course, NIO getting in on the action there at the top end of the market where there's a lot of money to be made, and BYD are sending their first at cars to Europe. Norway, of course, the red hot EV market of Norway. The first 100 units of the Tang. Tangy, the Tang EV. Terrible name, by the way, but hey, as long as it's a great car that drives okay, what have you got? I've got a bit of Tang in the driveway. Anyway, the Tangy EV, which is BYD's most expensive passenger vehicle, full electric, of course, seven seats, all-wheel drive, and the first 100 of them are now on the ship, because today, Monday 7th, it set sail from the port of Shanghai, heading to Norway. Chief among the new tech features are the blade battery. 0 to 62 miles an hour, or 0 to 100 k's, 4.6 seconds, 86.4 kilowatt hour capacity. Lithium iron phosphate chemistry, we call it LFP, so super stable, very, very, very safe, cheaper to make as well, 30 to 80% charge in less than 30 minutes. Doesn't mean the car's going to be cheap, though. Starting price of the BYD Tang EV, tangy, it is going to be 600,000 NUK, or about 60,000 euros. And honestly, I've been to Norway, and 60,000 euros is what you probably pay for a takeaway burger. My God, Norway's expensive. Okay, moving on. Norway appears to be becoming a key European test market for Chinese OEMs, according to Matthias Schmidt, who I mentioned earlier. Chinese OEMs already present in Norway: XPeng, Geely with Polestar, SAIC, they own MG and Maxus, JAC, and now NIO, when that ship finally arrives. Okay, next, we'll stay in China, and CATL, the battery maker, it has plans to construct a new battery cell manufacturing facility next door to Tesla Gigafactory in Shanghai. It's not in competition. It's because they don't want to ship the batteries too far. They want to make the cells there and just pass them over the fence. There you go, Elon. Have some more. An annual production capacity of 80 gigawatt hours. That's enough for about 800,000 electric cars, says Clean Technica. A senior CATL official says to Reuters the company wants to expand their relationship with Tesla and supply half of the batteries that Tesla uses in their EVs and Powerwall storage worldwide. Well, CATL began supplying batteries to Tesla for their Chinese Model 3 last year, making 69 gigawatt hours of batteries at the moment, but building that massive 80 gigawatt hour, that's how much per year, but that's an annual. We talk about gigafactories and we give them a number. That's how much they make per year, bearing in mind the factory that is probably the most famous gigafactory, Giga Nevada, is the Tesla Panasonic facility. And that one is up around, I don't know the latest number, it'll be 34 to 36, maybe 38 gigawatt hours per year, depending on the upgrades they've done there. I knew it's mid-30s, but that was a while ago that I read that. Okay, next, we will talk about Audi taking full control of a super-secret project. We've known for almost a year that Audi's been working on their secret all-electric project named Project Artemis. It's a production car. It's out in 2024, and what Audi wanted to do was to not make an ordinary Audi. It's what they were doing was taking a team of people, putting them outside the walls of the building, if you like, so a separate entity, and saying, let your imagination run wild. It's now called LandJet, and the new model, they said, and this was, you know, it came from the very top of Herbert Diess, who runs VW Group, and all their brands, said, we need to beat Tesla in every way imaginable. So the battery technology needs to be the best in the world. The range has to be best. The autonomous driving has to be the best. And in short, Audi wants to make the new gold standard of EVs, says CarBuzz. The German automaker has announced the project has now entered a new phase. Rather than being entirely out of Audi, they've moved it in-house. It's ready now. It's been incubating, and now it's time to come into the main Audi organization, not be a standalone division. Artemis is going to morph, some say, into the Audi A9 e-tron when it goes on sale in 2024. And look, we've just been talking about Model S Plaid, haven't we? 2 seconds, 0 to 60. And the range is, you know, I think a bit of a letdown because we were told 520. But who knows? Like Mercedes-Benz EQS was setting new standards. Lucid setting new standards. And Audi wants to beat all of those as well. Hey, I'd love to know what you think about today's stories on the podcast. You can email me anytime. Hello at evnewsdaily.com. Was the Model S Plaid Plus a figment of Elon Musk's imagination, all along? Did people put deposits down for a car that never existed? Lucid announced 517 miles of the Lucid Air. The next day, Elon Musk announced the car with 520, conveniently 3 more miles. Of course, using the new 4680 self-made battery cells. Was that car never going to be made? Was it simply to steal the attention? Or has Tesla decided, hey, actually the plaid version is good enough? And I don't really buy that excuse that nobody needs a 520-mile car, so we'll give you 300-and-something. It's perfectly good enough. Hey, look at the 0-60 speed. Yeah, I don't care about 0-60. Like, at what point do I lose my license, you know, or drive stupidly on public roads? So what do you think about that? What's the real reason behind it? I'd love to hear as many different opinions as possible about any of the stories on the show. Hey, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com, the other opportunity for you to get in contact with me. What noises, if any, should electric vehicles make inside or outside the vehicle? So I'm probably 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks into having the new 2021 model Kona, Hyundai Kona, and it's great, by the way. Forwards, the noise is good, subtle. Backwards, it beeps like a damn truck. First time I put it in reverse, it's like, I don't know, I'm like backing a delivery lorry out, so I don't like it. But it's better than the noise of our Zoe, at least. I hate that noise. I turn it off because you can actually use a switch to turn it off. What noises, if any, should EVs make inside or outside? Should they make fake engine noises and fake exhaust noises like some of them do? Email me your thoughts. I'll read them out Sunday. Hello at evnewsdaily.com. Well, it means so much if you can ever drop by the Patreon page and support the show. It's how we fund this podcast. It's how we pay the bills, keep the lights on. If you hear the odd advert these days, you can avoid the ads with your ad-free feed, a unique personal feed for any patron from $5 upwards. You'll find it in the dashboard. Pop that RSS link into your pod app on your phone, tablet, whatever, and you'll get this podcast, but sans ads, no commercial interruptions. And you can check it out. It's patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Our premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future. We'll hear from Phil later on this year on the podcast about some things. Brad Crosby, also Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley and the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.